We're reading in the writings of Baal HaSulam, we're in an article called Disclosing a Portion Covering Two.
In our course of the Wisdom of Kabbalah, we want to go over all the writings of Baal HaSulam gradually. Thus, we begin from these articles that are for beginners and they're relatively short, and so on, until we receive already experience and knowledge to go on to bigger articles, more serious ones, mainly to the introductions. And then also to tests. But once again, the approach needs to be that we need to learn these matters in a manner that it's not just as a remedy that will give us the ability to advance to vessels of bestowal. That we somehow feel and understand what is faith above reason, what it means to be in vessels of bestowal, and then we can learn everything that Tess speaks to us of spiritual actions in a manner that we also feel it, what it's talking about. And in the meantime, then, thus we're also learning preparations for that, these short articles, like the article before us. So please, Gilad.
The article disclosing a portion covering two. There's an idiom among great sages when they come to disclose a profound matter, they begin their words with, I am disclosing a portion and covering two portions. Our sages took great care not to utter words needlessly. As our sages instructed, a word is a rock, silence is two. This means that if you have a priceless word whose worth is one rock, know that not saying it is worth two rocks. This refers to those who utter needless words without pertinent content or use except to decorate the style in the eyes of the reader. This was strictly forbidden in the eyes of our sages, as it is known to those who examine their words. And as I will prove in the following essays, hence we must be attentive to understand this common idiom of theirs.
Ken.
Yes.
Ma Kiev rotze?
Does Kiev want?
Да, я как раз хотел спросить по поводу вот того, что.
I wanted to ask. As far as not saying and saying.
No. The problem by them was that it's forbidden to reveal to a person things that he still cannot understand, attain, misunderstand them incorrectly. And so the study must be thus, to direct a person to building of the vessels that he later can attain. And the attainment he attains helps him. It raises him a degree. They were not just developing vessels for let's say intellectual vessels, like in this world. We want to develop spiritual vessels, and thus Kabbalists throughout the generations, thousands of years, the people attain the Creator, and the first to attain and the attainment of the Creator was Adam. Adam Arishon, the first Kabbalist. And so they were very strict about it. that in sum total, they want to reveal to us things that can help us raise us to spiritual attainment and not give us just knowledge that from them we will not benefit anything. But what will we get of that? Philosophy? And so they were very careful. And thus they say that if you reveal, are you sure that you're revealing it for the benefit of the people? And so reveal it. And if not, then don't. The word, like the word that you say is, let's say, worth $1, and this day you don't reveal it, it's worth $2. It's more worthwhile and better not to reveal. Not that they want to conceal it, but rather they want to just prepare a person for the correct state. Because otherwise, why was wisdom of Kabbalah concealed? Why did Kabbalists not want to advertise the wisdom of Kabbalah? To this day, people talk about that. Because if a person is not ready, then from these books, he can't understand a thing. In our times, it's not working so much, not effective so much, because we are in such confusions now at the end of generations. But the truth is, that was a true fear of the Kabbalists, that people will begin to build, instead of the wisdom of Kabbalah, other methods, and that's actually what did happen. These methods arose and they'd exist and acted in humanity even thousands of years. And only today they're beginning to go down in importance and remain as some culture, let's say, and not more. And so it's allowed then for the wisdom of Kabbalah to be revealed more. Let's go on. Oh, wait, Hebrew 10, what do they want?
תודה רבה לך רב יקר קדוש השאלה שלי ככה
Thank you very much, my holy Rav. It's talking about here about rocks and rocks. I don't know what a rock is in spirituality. I don't know what a rock is in this, in the sea.
Yeah, like a type of coin. Type of coin. Okay. Let's go on, Gila.
The heading, three kinds of concealment of the wisdom. There are three parts in the secrets of the Torah. Each part has its own reason for being concealed. They are called by the following names. One, unnecessary. Two, impossible. Three, the counsel of the Lord is to those who fear Him. There's not a single fraction of this wisdom where scrutinies of these three parts do not apply, and I will clarify them one at a time.
One. No questions, we'll continue, yes? Meaning, we have three parts in the secrets of the Torah. Each part has its unique reason why it's concealed. And what are these concealments, and what do they operate, and what types of matter, or what levels of matter, or on what do they operate, on were maybe some unique human beings? What's happening here? So in the meantime, he's simply explaining to us simply, these parts are called the unnecessary, the impossible, and the counsel of the Lord is to those who fear Him. And he's going to explain them. One, the unnecessary.
One, unnecessary. This means that no one will benefit from their disclosure. Of course, this is not such a great loss, because there's only the issue of cleanness of the mind here to warn of those actions defined as so what, meaning so what if I did this, there is no harm in it. But you should know that in the eyes of the sages, so what is considered the worst corrupter? Since all the destructors in the world, those that have been created, and those that will be, are the so what kind of people. This means that they occupy themselves and others in needless things. Hence, sages would not accept any student before they were certain that he would be cautious in his ways so as not to reveal what was not necessary.
All right, there's a lot of questions here. What does it mean that they would not accept these students? Who's accepting, who's not? On what level? If we're talking about the degrees like in the school or universities, like grades, then of course you can sort them and say who can say or behave such and such, then they don't enter some class or some course in the university and so on. That we could understand. But how they behaved such, we don't know. The Kabbalists. But really, there are stories about this, that the Kabbalists and the sages in general, they would accept students, whoever already passed many discernments, that he learned by someone, and he's given, there's some agreement about him, and so on. Meaning, known. The world wasn't so big like today. With all the traveling from place to place. And so, it was more known who each one is, where he comes from. The main thing that we need to know, the matter that is unnecessary, meaning what does not belong to attainment of the goal, the spiritual goal, we don't engage in it. It's simple. We don't engage in what doesn't belong to attainment of the spiritual goal. And thus, it's a matter that's very important, because all of us engage in a lot of garbage, things that are so what, have no importance, and to sort and arrange one to see oneself that's directed correctly only to the goal, and only all day and each minute to engage in what is before a person, to attain the correct goal. To be like that, it's not simple. You need a lot of force of the environment, and only in such a manner we can reach the goal. It's not important also how much we give time to it, rather how much we give it attention, heartfelt attention. Like Rabash would work over 10 hours in physical labor, in construction or paving the roads. But he knew that, he knew what he's doing it for, why he's alive, and in his mind there were always thoughts about the goal. And so all the time thus he would engage in attainment of the goal. So what is unnecessary, he would place aside and engage only in the necessary. And there was mainly work in the mind and heart and what they're engaged, the mind and heart of man. Turkey 4.
Rav Bala Sulam wrote explanations to writings of Holy Ari, most of them. But I'm curious that he didn't write any explanation to Worlds of Klipa, writing of Ari, and Baal Sulam said, it is unnecessary. But my question is that, if that was unnecessary, why did Holy Ari wrote it? If Holy Ari wrote it, then it's necessary, so why did Baal Sulam didn't write explanation to it?
Surely it is unnecessary to whomever does not attain spirituality. Meaning for you to be interested in the worlds of shells, klipa, won't give you anything because you are, as it is, well below that. You are below the shells. So you don't have shells are like the holy. These are spiritual forces. Don't think it's something easy and close to you. In the extent that a person attains holiness, he attains the shells. And this this compared to this, the Creator created. You have a lot of questions, and I'm not against that, it's good. But it's better if you arrange them correctly and put them in some box whenever you open it and learn.
Николаев Сочи.
Николаев Сочи.
Раф, подскажите, вот вы сейчас сказали, что раньше какой-то предварительный отбор происходили, рекомендацию, да, чтобы попасть на учебу.
You mentioned now that in the past there was a certain selection to be accepted to the study. But today, to be accepted in the 10, is it also worthwhile to do a certain exam to check that a person is ready to invest? Because it's like a elite unit, and if not everyone's capable, then no one will attain the goal.
That's the work now, like I did before, although we're a unique group that wants to attain the goal within it, in itself. But what was before, now does the work because we are in the last generation. In a process that's already going towards the end of generation, and everyone must attain, and everyone must work, and everyone must know. And so there is no check who yes and who no, rather open to everyone. So, who to take an example from? By us, open to everyone, whoever is not married, also whoever is not working. From you, it's hard to take an example, and surely not Rabash. So, each one to himself.
Each should build a form towards what he wants to attain, that which he wants to achieve.
Tel Aviv 4.
Tel Aviv 4.
Thank you, Rav. Things that are unnecessary are self-defined or by the goal?
That they don't lead a person to the goal.
PT 7.
PT 7.
Rav, it's not clear that the so what is considered like the worst by the sages. Why? It's the worst.
Because it deviates a person from the path. In every path, when there's no end to it. It doesn't lead the person to a place where a person says, oh, I reached a dead end and I have to go back and find the path. There's no such thing. So what doesn't lead to anything, just to fill himself. And today our whole world, look at the media and everything, it's only in order to fill a person and to the end of the world, to the end of his life like that. Gilad?
Item 2. Impossible. This means that the language does not compel them to say anything of their quality, due to their great sublimity and spirituality. Hence, any attempt to clothe them in words may only mislead the examiners and deflect them to a false path, which is considered the worst of all iniquities. Therefore, to reveal anything in these matters requires permission from above. This is the second part of the concealment of the wisdom. Yet this permission too requires explanation.
Meaning there are things that you can come to, not everyone, but those who truly have an inclination, a desire, certain preparations, a belonging to revealing that root, which is called the impossible. And to them, it is possible. And impossible becomes possible. Next.
Permission from above. This matter is explained in the book, The Gate to Rashbi's Words by the Ari. Know that some of the souls of the righteous are of the surrounding light kind, and some are of the inner light kind. Those who are of the surrounding light kind have the power to speak of the secrets and concealments of the Torah by way of great covering and concealment, so that only those worthy of it will understand them. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's soul was of the surrounding light kind. Hence, he had the power to clothe the words and teach them in a way that even if he taught them to many, only the worthy of understanding would understand. This is why he was given permission to write the book of Zohar. The permission was not granted to write a book in this wisdom to his teachers or to the first ones who preceded them in writing in this wisdom, even though they were certainly more knowledgeable in this wisdom than he. But the reason is that they did not have the power to dress the matters as did he. This is the meaning of what is written, Yochai's son knew how to guard his ways. Now you can understand the great concealment in the book of Zohar that Rashbi wrote, that not every mind can grasp his words. The essence of his words, explaining matters in the wisdom of truth, is not dependent whatsoever on the greatness or smallness of the Kabbalist sage. Rather, it is about the illumination of a soul dedicated to this matter. The illumination of this soul is considered giving permission from above to disclose the upper wisdom. We therefore learn that one who has not been rewarded with this permission must not make clarifications in this wisdom, as he cannot clothe those subtle matters in their proper words in a way that will not fail the students. For this reason, we did not find a single book in this wisdom of truth that precedes Rashbi's Book of Zohar, since all the books in the wisdom prior to his are not categorized as clarifications of the wisdom, but are mere intimations without an order of cause and consequence, as it is known to those, the knowledgeable ones. I should add, as I had received from books and from authors, that since the time of Rashbi and his disciples, the authors of the Zohar, until the time of the Ari, there was not a single writer who understood the words of the Zohar and the Tikkunim, corrections, like the Ari. All the compositions before his time are mere inklings in this wisdom, including the books of the sage Ramak. And the same words that were said about the Rashbi should be said about the Ari himself, that his predecessors were not given permission from above to disclose the interpretations of the wisdom. And the Ari was given this permission. This does not distinguish any greatness or smallness at all, since it is possible that the merit of the Ari's predecessors was much greater than his, but they were not given permission for it. For this reason, they refrain from writing commentaries that relate to the essence of the wisdom, but settled for brief intimations that were not in any way linked to one another.
Meaning, it could be that they were great sages and knew more than the Ari and more than Rabbi Shimon. But we don't know. We don't know about them because it was prohibited for them to reveal. And therefore, it could be that they were great in attainment, more than anyone, but they didn't write or speak. It is all, it's the secret of the Lord should hide a matter. How many do we have from Moses, other than the fact that he wrote the Torah? How much do we have from King David? Psalms. From King Solomon. What do we have? Very little. Writings. Altogether. Even though they knew several fold what all those Kabbalists that later, meaning we need to understand that every single Kabbalist discloses what he is permitted to disclose and what he gets permission from the heaven, meaning that the Creator himself seemingly gives him permission, says, reveal this and this not. And therefore, we cannot, with our intellect, according to the books that each left behind or something, according to that, to measure the Kabbalist. This is more or that's less. It's completely not possible with our intellect, and we shouldn't, God forbid, relate to these people in such a way. They serve according to a different criteria, to the extent in which it is beneficial altogether to all the souls to reach the end of correction. Okay?
Moscow 1.
Вот можно ли так спросить, вот что характеризует отношение к окружающему свету, которое вот, когда позволительно говорить?
What characterizes the relation to the surrounding light?
That's when you'll be in degrees of surrounding light and inner light, and more than that, then you'll know. Now, we have nothing that we can discover in that. We just know that whoever enters spirituality starts more or less to understand slowly, slowly, just like we are in this world, what it is altogether, and later, what he belongs to and how much of a role he has in that. And one's role of revealing or disclosing or not, nevertheless, the sign for wisdom is silence. Meaning, first of all, we're silent. And then we talk only about those things that you can for sure benefit the correction of the souls with. And it depends on time, on a period of time, on the air. It depends on many things that we will then know. Okay? Good. Tel Aviv
3. Rav, what's the difference between an explanation and a hint?
The clarification and the intimation is just signs. Focus group.
Why There are Kabbalists who are like tied to Abraham and Moses. They can't hear me?
Shomim otcha, shomim.
We hear you, we hear you. And there are Kabbalists who...
Why don't we see him?
They don't see me?
We don't see.
Maybe something in the internet, or he's connected by phone.
He's connected to the phone too. Well, okay. So let him fix those things.
PT 19.
PT
19.
Can you hear you, Tzvika?
No.
Can you hear me now? Okay, so there are those who they don't have permission and they still teach Kabbalah.
In our times, it's no longer in validity. All those things were till our times, until we entered, let's say about 100 years ago, or I don't know how exactly, seems to me maybe even a little before that, where we entered the last generation. When we entered the last generation, there are no limitations to anyone. Anyone who's interested can do, and that's different. He can do what he thinks. No one criticizes the other, and everyone's allowed to disclose. And moreover, as it's written, it's a great reward to one who reveals, who discloses.
There is significance that I need to clarify with that same Rav.
There's no longer such a thing, do you understand? There used to be a special agreement beforehand, special permission. A person who received such permission from above was that he had some kind of special connection with the Creator. Then he could teach others. And in our times already, not just in our times, but for some time now, it's come down from the point. It's not that, oh, we're some great people or not. It's also not a matter of small ones. It's because we all must now, in the whole mass of humanity, in all the souls, to approach the end of correction.
So I can learn anyone who calls himself Kabbalah?
Anyone, without any limitation. Anyone.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Haifa Free.
Haifa 3.
Haifa 3.
We heard there are Kabbalists, the surrounding light and the inner light.
That doesn't belong to us now. How can you understand? He's explained this all the time. You hear just one sentence out of 10 sentences. He's explained to us that was once a great difference between the souls. Today, all the souls are already connected from above to start with, to the purpose of creation. So there's no limitation upon anyone.
In principle, what's the difference? That's what I want to know.
When you'll be a sage, you'll know. You'll enter spirituality and you'll know. It doesn't belong to you to understand that now. It doesn't belong. What do you understand with souls?
All right. Thank you.
It's not for us now, for the time being. Understand that. Why am I answering you this way? We need to advance, and then we will know how to act in a way of how to operate here. PT 25.
Maybe if possible, just one more question. What's the purpose in all the revelations the Creator gives Kabbalists that they can't reveal to others? Where does it go?
It goes, that's a nice question, yes. That goes to the general soul of Adam, which is called Adam, or Adam Arishon, or Adam. Adam Arishon is kind of what was before the shattering. That's within that soul, in that shattered soul, and we are all correcting it.
So
the revelation itself is already a correction?
Yes, revelations. Even personal revelations are corrections. The Kabbalists do many revelations, many corrections that we don't know and don't know about. It doesn't belong to us. When we get with our souls to such corrections, then we too will be incorporated in that. And to the extent in which we rise in the degrees of correction, we will understand that there are jobs that are like this and like that, work that you do here and there. It's like a little child. He doesn't know that there's laboratories and factories and all kinds of mechanisms that engage in, no. For him, that doesn't exist. He thinks that he doesn't know where everything comes from. This car that he sees on his shelf. In the toy store that he comes to. He doesn't know anything. That's for him and that's it. The older people, they know where it comes from and that there's all the other things that come with it also. We'll get there. Kabbalists write in such a way that it is clear to us and therefore what is revealed, we can learn. And there were also such books that don't have to do with the correction of the souls, actually. Focus group.
I'm here and see me now?
Now, yes.
Why do Kabbalists seem to me, at least, like Abraham and Moses were more connected to the nation? Like they were in more direct contact with them. And compared to Ari and Baal HaSulam, it looks like they arranged all these writings, but they weren't really in connection with the nation.
It probably had to be that way. Each generation and its sages, each generation and its behavior according to the root of the soul, certainly all these things are managed only by the upper light. And if we don't understand yet the general form of why we're arranged this way, all the universe, earth, we upon this earth, and our history and the history of each and every one, so we don't know yet. We don't know because you can't grasp it. You can't grasp it yet with your intellect, with your nice and correct approach. You can't. You don't have that approach, that access. How can you ask about such global things and also about the Kabbalists? What do you understand in the perception and work of a Kabbalist that you're asking about that? It's like a cat asking about the life of a person. And he has questions like that about him. We will develop, we'll enter spirituality, we'll deepen into spiritual actions, and then accordingly we will know how to ask and how to receive the answer. For the time being, there is none.
So, we don't need to think that if there's a Kabbalist, that he will like come and help the nation. Could be that he'll just complete something in the system and the nation will reach it later.
Let it be that way. You know? Let it be.
Sorry.
It's hard for me to understand your way of thinking. Where are we?
From this reason. From when the writings of the Ari appeared in the world, who study the wisdom of Kabbalah have left their hands from all the books of the Ramak, and all the first and the great ones who preceded the Ari, as it is known among those who engage in this wisdom. They have attached their spiritual lives solely to the writings of the Ari, in a way that the essential books, considered proper interpretations in this wisdom, are only the book of Zohar, the Tikkunim, and following them, the books of the Ari.
That should be clear to us. It's not worthwhile to run around between all the writings, between all kinds of things I had when I didn't know that before I came to Ramash. And to the writings of Baal HaSulam, I had so many books that I bought in every place, and from Jerusalem, from all kinds of places that sold these kind of books, whatnot. And then I could truly just fill garbage cans with it. And we need to understand that what he's writing here is truly, this should be for us in the correct direction. The writings of the Ari, meaning the Zohar, the writings of the Ari, and the writings of Baal HaSulam. These three sources. Besides that, nothing. Well,
three.
Read, the counsel of the Lord is to those who fear Him. This means that the secrets of the Torah are revealed only to those who fear His name, who keep His glory with their hearts and souls, so as never to commit any manner of blasphemy. This is the third part of the concealment of the wisdom. This part is the strictest in regard to the concealment, as this kind of a disclosure has failed many. From the midst of those stem all the charmers, whisperers, and practical Kabbalists who hunt souls with their cunningness.
All the red strings of different kinds.
And the mystics who use withered wisdom that came from under the hands of unworthy students to produce bodily benefit for themselves or for others. The world has suffered much from this and is suffering still. Know that the root of the concealment was only this part. From here, the sages took excessive strictness in testing the disciples. As our sages said, a summary is given only to a chief justice and to one whose heart is worried. And Maaseh Bereshit is not to be explored in pairs, neither is Merkava to be explored alone. There are many others like that, and this whose fear is for the above reason. And this whole fear is for the above reason. For this reason, few are the chosen who have been rewarded with this wisdom, and even those who passed all their tests and examinations are sworn by the most serious oaths not to reveal anything of those three parts. Do not misunderstand my words in that I have divided the concealment of the wisdom into three parts. I do not mean that the wisdom of truth itself is divided into these three parts. Rather, I mean that these three parts branch out from every single detail of this wisdom, since they are the only three manners of scrutiny that are always applied to this wisdom. However, here we should ask, if it is true that the strictness of the concealment of the wisdom is so severe, from where were all the thousands of compositions in this wisdom taken? The answer is that there is a difference between the first two parts and the last part. The prime burden lies only in the above third part, for the reason explained above. But the first two parts are not under constant prohibition,
since sometimes an issue in the unnecessary is reversed, stopping unnecessary for some reason, and becomes necessary. Also, the part impossible sometimes becomes possible. This is so for two reasons, either because of the development of the generation, or by being given permission from above, as it happened to Rashbi and to the Ari, and to smaller extents to their formers. All the genuine books written in the wisdom emerge from these discernments. This is what they mean by their idiom. I disclosed a portion, and I will cover two portions. They mean that it happened that they revealed something new that their predecessors did not envision. This is why they imply that they are revealing only one portion, meaning he is revealing the first part of the three parts of concealment, and leaves two parts concealed. This indicates that something happened, which is the reason for that disclosure. Either the unnecessary received the form of necessary, or he was given permission from above, as I have explained above. This is the meaning of the idiom, I am disclosing a portion. The readers of these essays, which I intend to print during the year, should know that they are all innovations, which are not introduced purely as such in their precise content in any book preceding me. I received them mouth to mouth from my teacher, who was authorized for it, meaning that he too received from his teacher's mouth to mouth. And although I had received them under all the conditions of covering and watchfulness by the necessity introduced in my essay, Time to Act, the unnecessary part has been inverted for me and became necessary. Hence, I have revealed this portion with complete permission, as I have explained above. Yet, I will keep the other two portions as I am commanded.
He concludes this short article of his called Disclosing a Portion and Covering Two. He gives us a little to feel what states Kabbalists are in, what they went through, what concerns them. And, well, we will see. Yes, Gilad.
Rav, can we ask about something we could take from Shabbat still?
Yes, please.
Said in Shabbat, to not open our cameras is like harm, right?
I see many black windows. Yes, before me.
Right.
And it was explained to me that this is a person that doesn't want to be seen. What does that mean for him not to be seen?
It's not always the state. I mean, there's a whole scrutiny in of itself. You've explained.
No, why does he close himself?
So there's a lot of people, let's say their internet is weak someplace.
So it's not letting the picture to be seen? That's something different, I understand.
Or let's say some women, let's say maybe taking care of kids, or a person, let's say, is at work or someplace where he can't open his camera and he still wants to be connected. There's a variety of reasons.
Okay, so let's say it this way. Each person needs to understand and to see that if he shows himself, he's participating in all that he's capable, possible with his friends, and that's a must for him. But if you have no choice, then if you're coerced from above, then you're coerced to do so. If you're not able, if you're doing the work, and he can only hear, or he's taking care of the children, or something else is happening, then he doesn't put his picture up there. So we know that this person is with us, but has a problem. And the moment he can, or she can, he'll show us that he's with us and he'll participate and share his picture also.
There's the impression, maybe by accident, it was maybe said just to women?
No, this is not to women. I talked about this when it was women were there, maybe.
Yeah, I guess maybe that's why there was a misunderstanding.
I mostly meant the men. Women are void of anything that is related to that. Each can disclose herself or reveal herself however she can, because women have other matters at home where they have to take care of their families and take care of their children, maybe, and other things. Depends whether she or her hairdo is one way or another. I don't know. There's a scrutiny to each in everything, and I'm not going to get into that. But mostly this is with the men.
Now, if there's an opportunity to just listen passively in Sviva Tova, then you're not in the Arvut system at all. Or is it maybe better to be in the Arvut system and be sometimes open, sometimes closed with the camera? Or
I'll leave this to each and every one of you, but each should know that by that you're participating with everyone, you're strengthening everyone, sustaining everyone, and if you're not capable under the conditions that were given to you, then what can you do? Okay, yes? All right. Now we have to move to Peter quickly. Peter?
Да, по статье вопрос, когда мы ваши... По статье вопрос, когда мы ваши
ученики... Question about the article.
Если у нас риски...
When we, your students, engage in dissemination, are there chances...
If you think about the benefit of a person and how this can benefit a person, you can't harm him. Period. That's it. Now, women internet.
שאלה ממוסקבה 6. כיצד קבוע
הרבנים, האם היה צורך... How did Kabbalists determine if there was a need to reveal the wisdom of Kabbalah or not?
How did they decide? According to what they felt it from the upper world, from the Creator. When we enter the upper world and to the degree, to a certain specific degree, then we will also know what the will of the Creator is and what we need to do with each and every desire of ours in order to be in equivalence and closeness to Him.
PT 38, how do we yearn correctly, cleanly for the whole correction, for the revelation of the wisdom?
Only through connection with others. That is the safest way and the most correct way. If I don't love my friends, don't want to come close to humanity, don't want to bring all of humanity to correction for the benefit of everyone, then for sure I am not in the right way in the wisdom of Kabbalah and I have nothing to do there.
Rav, there's a question regarding the summary of the lesson, the meeting from the summary of the lesson. At the end of the lesson, some of the friends don't say anything in the summary. Sometimes they say that they don't want to confuse one another. What should we discuss at the end of the lesson and what should we not?
I don't know. With Rabash, we didn't have any summary ever at the end of the lesson. But here, I think that it's worthwhile for us to do this from time to time, at least. So it will kind of arrange us better. So it will help us be more stable and aimed in the right way to the goal. Next.
That's it. Thank you, Rav.
Wonderful. So if so, we... Yes, Gilad.
Rav, what do you mean sometimes? I know that in all the tens, always we have a summary after the lesson.
But if there are tens that cannot, let's say either because of a lack of time or because of a lack of interest, I don't know why, but if I hear such things, then I just want to say... So it's not too bad if, for the time being, you're not doing it from time to being, 2 or 3 times a week, and not every day. Although it's best to do it daily, I'll tell you what's good about the summary. You know why you were there, what to demand next time. You're learning from one another and all together from the group summary how to approach the lesson. This evokes general good scrutiny, good criticism, a stable approach towards the group in towards the purpose of life. Therefore, the summary, you understand what a summary is? The summary is the main thing from anything. What did you get? What do you have from this? Did you have something that you wanted to attain and you got it? Or not? Or what do you mean from that? What did you intend? What altogether are you continuing with? Summary is a very serious thing. But I'm not pressuring each and everyone that he must. And if you can't, if one can't, if he's not yet, well, as it's written, and so open for him. So help one another how you're coming to a summary. Do a general summary with your 10 so that we will all learn. And tell us later, what are your summaries? In short, I'm hugging you all. May you have a good day, a good continuation to the day. And main thing is health, both corporeal, but mostly spiritual health. A lot of light. Bye.
Announcements. On the sources recommended for today, the excerpts in Faith Above Reason, 40-43, Rabash's article, The Matter of Above Reason, and excerpts 44-46 for tomorrow's excerpts from Faith Above Reason. This will also be sent in the usual channels. Have a great day, everyone. Song.
Survive. Together we can feel alive. We are born to leave the darkness for the light. Need each other to survive. Together we can be alive. We are born to leave the darkness for the light. We are branches of one tree, rooted in each other's lives. Voices of one harmony, all as one begin to rise. We are branches of one tree, rooted in each other's lives. Voices of one harmony, all as one begin to rise. Oh yeah, oh yeah, 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 yeah.
How good to be together with you. How good to be together with you. How good to be together with you.
To be forever, yeah, to be forever with you. Each other to survive. Together we can feel alive. We are born to leave the darkness for the light. Need each other to survive. Together we can be alive. We are born to leave the darkness for the light. We are branches of one tree, rooted in each other's lives. Voices of one harmony, all as one begin to rise. We are branches of one tree, rooted